Hi, welcome to another song title challenge where the question is, climbers, how should you write this one? You've got a great title. Maybe it's a not so great title. Maybe it's like a super mediocre title like The Dance, but then you put the song title challenge behind it and you're Tony Arata and you're like, hold my beer. What about this? Yeah. And it becomes a huge iconic song. This is where climbers send in their song titles to info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is singular. There is no S. info@daredevilproduction.com. Put song title challenge or STC in the subject line. I want to make sure it gets in the right folder. If you don't, it won't. There's just a ton of spam I get all the time and just regular work emails. So we want to make sure that everything you send in goes into the right place. Then I spring the title live on the podcast while we're recording live to tape here to Brent and to an esteemed guest that we have. And we take about 20 minutes to flesh out five or six different conceptual angles for writing the song. This is the difference between good and great, to be quite honest with you. You can take the most cliche title and blow people's minds by spinning it around in a different way where they're just like, wow. And you almost set them up. It's almost like an ambush, yeah. Right? You're like, oh, they're going to be like rolling their eyes when they listen to this one, when they hear the title. And then you're like, oh no, you did not do that. That was amazing. And then you get them excited and now you're in, right? So this is not a co-write in any way, shape, or form. It's a creative, fun exercise. It's whoever sent in the title, use all of what we say, use none of what we say. It's up to you. We just demand an invite to the number one party. And so today's guest, I have the pleasure of introducing. I have worked with this songwriter and artist since she was 12 years old. And I have just the utmost respect for you. You're a better picker than me when you were like 13.
He's been singing your praises since you were 12.
It's just a vulgar play of
it, to be honest.
And I know you don't listen to the podcast, but you can't imagine how many times your name has been mentioned on this podcast.
The over under is 100.
It really is probably that much when it's just like when people are like, well, it's just really difficult to do this and do that. Like, screw you. I got a 13-year-old girl playing downtown 3 hours. Twice a week, and she's figuring out a way. She's worked her way up from the low-level writing rooms to the mid-level writing rooms into this just by sheer will, because she wants to, and she's interested in being a songwriter, and she's interested in being a guitar picker, and so she just keeps getting better at it. That's just the black and the white of it. So, guys, this artist here has, at this point in time, 18, right?
Yep.
18. You have over 30 independent cuts, probably closer to 35, with your first big major cut with Drake White's single, Can't Have My Dog. Welcome.
Wasn't a single.
Wasn't a single.
No, it was an album.
It was a cut. Okay, my mistake. It was a cut. But it's the first major cut that you had. And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Climb Show a dear, dear friend of mine. I love her. I love her family. Miss Ava Page.
Hey,
Ava.
Oh my gosh, if I ever want to just like get amped up, I just need to come on here. Dang.
Yeah, we'll like, okay. We'll just follow you around and be like, you know, we'll give you a theme song, talk about, I'll be your hype man.
Come on.
Little Page.
I love you both. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that we got to meet in Denmark just because I've been seeing you around on social media and stuff, and everybody else knows you. And Johnny's been wearing the whole climb community out with how awesome you are here for, I don't know how long we've been doing the podcast, like 6 years. So seriously, like, yeah, the whole ride.
I'm sorry.
And so I'm so glad that we got to meet and hang out, and you're awesome. And you lived up to it. You lived up to the hype.
Well,
so
I'm glad
we got to hang out.
Well, thank you.
Really, you really, really are. And we just had the best time working together. We got a lot of stuff accomplished. And I'm just so proud of you. You know, it's just so amazing to watch someone be so focused and so interested in being better.
Well, thank you.
And then watching you do it. And we haven't worked together in a long time, but we're always running into each other. And I'm just always blown away by whatever news there is, what you've done. It's, for us, it's kind of like just family first kind of a thing, I think. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Your mom, your dad, your brother, like everybody and all that. And then I'm like, oh God, you've had 30 cuts? Like, I didn't even know that. That's ridiculous. That's just so astonishing. And the thing that blew me away the most, just, well, I'm just gushing on you right now, but you went through some stuff back in the day. You kicked leukemia right in the rear end, and you've come out on the other end. And I only say this because it's this moment that I had where I just realized that the impact that you had on me was just not on me. It was like on the whole freaking town of Nashville. But the time that happened, you had a fundraiser that you did. And I think it was like 51 songwriters showed up at that fundraiser and played one song that they'd co-written with you. And how old were you at that time?
It was just before 16? My 15th birthday.
Oh, 15. Yeah. 14 and a half, 15. And I'm just like, wow. Literally, like when your name comes up on this podcast, it's for anybody that has an excuse in life about anything, about, oh, it's so tough to get into songwriting and blah, 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 blah. It's like, Ava Page. Ava Page. Ava Page. Yeah. Ava Page.
I just love it, man. And I have to give a lot of the credit to my parents, and they're so incredibly supportive. Mm-hmm. They've always been there for me and always encouraging me. But my dad had a quote, and that stuck with me throughout my whole entire life, is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Oh. And it is so true, because there's so many talented people in this town that are absolutely phenomenal. And it's like, how the heck do you not have a deal? Mm-hmm. But if you don't put the work behind it and you don't network, then you'll get lapped. And the fact that this town is so full of so many incredible songwriters, incredible artists, incredible singers, incredible writers, it's just, you got to put in the talent, or you got to put in the effort and the hard work, because hard work beats talent and talent doesn't work hard. And I've seen it happen so many times. And plus I love my job. What an incredible job it is.
Amen.
I mean, I feel privileged every single day I get to walk into a writing room and create something. But I just love it.
One thing I would add to that is like, I was saying that to someone the other day about hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. But it's like, you work hard enough, long enough, people just assume you're talented. Like, oh, well, they're just talented, so they got it easy. Like, I just make it look. But the dangerous thing.
It's hard work making it look this easy.
Yeah, making you think I was just born talented. But yeah, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. But when talent works hard, you're screwed. And you're talented. So everyone else is screwed.
Thank you. I mean, a lot of the people that you hear on radio, there's no such thing as an overnight success. Nope. It's like Luke Combs, it was a 10-year overnight sensation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. Like all those artists that you hear and like, oh, they just came out of nowhere. No, they did not. They were busting their butt for years before they got their big break. I mean, if you look at a lot of the major artists on radio right now, they were songwriters before they were artists. They were, Ashley McBride was busting her butt down on Broadway, playing 5 days a week and writing every single day before she finally got in the right group of people and got in front of the right people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you could be incredibly talented, but if you don't put in the effort, then you ain't going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm just so glad. It's been long overdue for you to be on this podcast. So I'm glad you're here.
Happy to be here.
All right. Are you guys
say
ready?
That now, but that's about to change.
I'm trying to find a good one. And it was like, I was scraping, man, but I got something that I think will be interesting, okay?
Okay.
In terms of song title. So here we go. This song title is from, oh my gosh, what happened? I just lost it. Oops.
Get your act together, Johnny.
Come on, Johnny. You're in front of a Gen Z here.
Yep, that's right. Here we go. So this is from Randy Maynor.
Randy.
Who's submitted before. I think we've had some of his on there. Song title is Dirty Dishes.
Okay.
Dirty Dishes.
Okay.
Randy, thank you for sending this song title, buddy.
Yes,
I know
Randy.
He's a good guy.
What's your hot take, Johnny? Gives us a second to think about it.
First of all, I've never heard a song title with this, I don't think. So I like that. And I actually think this title's more interesting than not interesting. Right?
Absolutely.
This is more than like the dance or the request in just terms of appeal on just the title. And I think that just right off the top of my head, I feel like there's probably five different ways we could go with this.
Oh, yeah, at least.
And so I'm very, very interested to see what we come up with, because I think we're about to take this title and really just put some stank on it and make it mean something super powerful.
Yes, I like the alliteration. I like that it's an image. I like that I look at the title and I have no idea what it's about, which is fun as a listener or someone that is about to listen to the song. As a songwriter, it's terrifying and exciting at the same time.
Absolutely.
So I'll dive in and just break the ice. So my first thought, which I don't know what this says about me, is like a makeout song. Like, I don't mind if we wake up to some dirty dishes.
If it has dirty in the title, there's a 9 out of 10 chance that it's going to be something like that. Come on.
Like, honey, would do that.
Wow, you know what's embarrassing to admit right now is that you two went there and I didn't.
Come on, Johnny.
That's my department. What the hell?
Yes. So like, I don't care if we wake up to some dirty dishes because we never got around to cleaning them because we were enjoying other things. So that kind of thing. So that's the first thing I thought of. Yeah, I feel bad now. But anyway.
No, you're fine.
Like dirty dishes. Like, I don't mind waking up to some dirty dishes. Like, what? Oh, because after dinner, time got away from us.
Absolutely.
So
on the other side of it, I kind of get a House That Built Me vibe from this. Ooh. So if you go that sort of route, I know what immediately sprung to mind, and if I just switch to my default when it comes to songwriting, immediately I go storytelling. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of my love and my passion. I'm a country artist, sue me.
Yeah.
But if I was to write this as sort of what first came to my mind, it would be what my job growing up, we had some chores around the house and stuff, me and my brother, and I would do the dishes with my mom. And there's so many fond memories of me and my mom just cleaning the dishes. Ooh. And it's like, it could be that storyteller type. We're just living in between taking out the trash and dirty dishes.
Yeah.
The lessons you learned from your mom while you were doing the dishes.
Because I mean, whenever you're having a one-on-one activity with any of your parents or your siblings or anything, there's bound to be some nuggets of wisdom that pop out. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, we would just have conversations. Me and my mom have always been extremely close. We had to, since I've been in the industry since I was 10. But she was like driving me around everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's so many fond memories of her just telling me about life, just cleaning dishes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you could definitely go that route and kind of like a, again, like a House That Built Me sort of vibe of just the lessons you learn in life when cleaning dirty dishes.
Yeah, just going through life together. And
I don't know if we told you this too, but just to set it up, like you can put anything in front of the title or anything in back of the title to twist it up if you want to as well. And also, I think Brent told you, but you don't have any guardrails on genre too.
Right.
So you can be like your normal sort of like, okay, I got to do this for country. You get some more freedom now. You could be rock. It could be rap. It could be Americana. It could be CCM. It could be Southern Gospel, like whatever. Like you're just free to roam about the planet.
Absolutely.
Roam about the genres.
I love that idea.
I like that. Right off the bat, that's pretty freaking strong right there.
Because that's true. That's life. I mean, doing those dishes together. And as you're talking, you're doing stuff together and you're just talking, just little pearls drop out, right? It's so, and you have all the
And honestly,
imagery.
Yeah, you could make it like just the story of life growing up, because I know even right now, my job is still do dirty dishes. Mm-hmm. So at 18 and at 7, I'm still doing the same job around the house. Mm-hmm. And so you could.
And then when you're older and you have your own kids.
Exactly.
And it's dirty dishes.
So you could easily age up the story as you go along and start super young, like, I don't know.
Bobby Pinson's Good Shave. Holy crap.
Yeah.
You could go that route and like first verse, do a little vignette of maybe it's the first day of kindergarten and you're scared and, you know, you're doing these dishes with your mom talking about that, and then have a general chorus that can keep with everything. And maybe it's the second and you're talking about a boy and, you know, you're talking about whether he broke your heart or you're flirting, something like that. Talk about advice from mama, and then final, kids of your own. And pass down that advice that you've learned over the years. And so you could absolutely make that a story song and age the listener up as you go along.
Yeah. And through the type of dishes, from my curly Q straw, little plastic cups to regular dishes to a wine glass, glass to back to sippy cups. Like,
absolutely.
The furniture changes with the story. That's fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's really smart.
So that's fun. I think of the phrase "come and clean over dirty dishes," like some sort of thing where something pops out, some sort of truth comes out. I don't know what that says or what that's about, but then I'm like, oh, I like that phrase, "come and clean over dirty dishes."
Maybe that's the moment where he says, "I love you" for the first time.
Something like that. Yeah. But "come and clean," I feel like it's a dirty thing. But maybe not. Maybe that's what's fun.
You could treat that like a dirty secret.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're afraid to say, because that's the most vulnerable thing you could ever say to somebody.
Yeah.
If it's not reciprocated, unrequited love, everybody's afraid.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to do, you would probably change that lead up line before each chorus. If you were to change the furniture around it as well, like what the dishes were, then you can even change that up. With the come and clean thing. I don't know. There's a lot of different setups you could do, because the setup would set the hook to be correct. That lead up line is probably the most important thing for the song. But I don't know, a lot of different avenues.
Yeah. And what if it's like even the fanciest houses have dirty dishes, right?
Yeah.
So it's a kind of the metaphor of these people's lives look so wonderful. If you drive down the McMansion Boulevard, wherever, in whatever town you're in, hey man, even those houses have dirty dishes.
the one person who uses paper plates, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure for that.
But you know, you can name drop like super, of course, I don't know the names, but like really, really fine china.
Yeah.
But they still end up dirty dishes, right?
Yes, to like, wear.
You know what I mean? And you said paper plates. I was thinking this, like, what if it's like, you're just kind of talking about your girl and you're just talking about how freaking great she is. She's just that simple country girl that she'll do what she says. She says what she does. And one of the things you like about her is you always eat on paper plates because she don't like dirty dishes.
Yeah. And I was pondering, like, I think of dirty laundry. That metaphor of the skeletons in your closet, the dirty little secrets.
Give us dirty laundry.
Is there a way to kind of do that? Dirty laundry and dirty dishes, or somewhere between?
Oh, absolutely.
One or somewhere between dirty laundry and dirty dishes, or use dirty dishes kind of like dirty laundry, which is kind of what I'm talking about. Like, even the nicest, fanciest houses have dirty dishes. Like, they're not perfect. Don't fall for the facade. They're people too.
Or if you wanted to do that coming clean over dirty dishes sort of thing, you can even do like a girlfriend sort of like getting together to spill the tea on crap. Because what do you do when you have your buddies over? You eat dinner.
Yeah.
And so it could just be like one of them girl songs where it's like getting together and getting dirty dishes. And that's where you would really like to do the wine glass and the all that sort of stuff. And maybe it's getting clean over dirty dishes, like getting it all out on the table.
Clean over dirty dishes where you talk with your girls. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's like the tribal female thing.
Yeah.
And I think of like, we just had Thanksgiving at the time of this recording recently, and all the dishes afterwards, just a load of dishes, just the cooking dishes, not to count all the plates and stuff too. But I wonder if there's something there, very like family kind of thing, which kind of goes back to maybe what you're talking about, cleaning the dishes, but too, it could even be a kind of a holiday almost kind of thing, or the family rituals of getting in there and cleaning those dirty dishes.
Somebody write a Thanksgiving song. Somebody, come on, we
not
need
too
one.
Many of them.
How about the angle that Jenny Lee took kind of with Old Oak Tree? Mm-hmm. About have you heard that song, Ava?
I haven't.
So it's about the story of a family from the perspective of the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not bad for an old oak tree. It's an oak kitchen table.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And so something like that, where it's just like you were talking about Thanksgiving, and you could talk about family. You could talk about how important family is around that table, and how important it is that we talk about life over dirty dishes, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of truth to that in the world today, where there's a lack of family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody's not eating dinner at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just some kind of sentiment there. That would be a very country kind of thing to do. Yeah. But yeah.
The only hole I could poke in that is I always play devil's advocate in rights too. So it's like, pardon me, but you would have to find a way around. Technically, it's not dirty until you're done. Because you wouldn't call food on a plate.
You wouldn't call that dirty dish while you're eating.
Yeah. So you have to find a way around that.
Right. It's the afterwards.
That's a good point.
What if these dirty dishes could talk? What do they hear over dinner?
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. That's like for Melanie Martinez's Dollhouse.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
where
yeah,
it's like it's just exactly what you said, like Mansion Boulevard, that you think you have the perfect life, or you try to portray that you have the perfect life, but it's a shit show behind the curtains, and it's told from the perspective of the dolls in her dollhouse when she was a little kid.
Oh, if you do something like, if these dirty dishes could talk sort of thing, it could even be the paper one sitting at a family trying to make ends meet while the fine china sitting on the couch when the other one's at the table. Like, you could do all sorts of different things describing the family situation just from where they eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, how about this? You just made me think of this. What about if it's an age up thing and you're just talking about going through life, and like dirty dishes is sort of the metric on it, right? Like, what kind of dishes are dirty?
Yeah.
They're paper plates when you're young and you're just starting out, and then they're better plates, and then it's fine china, and something like that could be interesting, where you're just really talking about life and the thread through it is the dirty dishes.
Yeah. What if it's almost a thing like the people are the dishes and it doesn't matter?
I'm sorry, Dana. Sorry, I don't know if this video is being used, but there's a spider in the corner, and I just like looked at it, and my face just looked terrified. So I don't know if you just heard me like audibly gasp. That was what it was. That's a big old spider. Holy crap!
You got to step on it.
He's just sitting there. He's just chilling for now. But
oh, I got one. How about this? How about what you learn? So it's a derivative of what you were talking about, Ava. What you learn over dirty dishes, but in this case, you're volunteering at a soup kitchen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And while you're picking up the dirty dishes of all these people that eat, you're just talking to them, getting to know them. You can, all of a sudden, you got all these different stories that you could integrate into these different personalities and different characters?
Absolutely. That's where you put that whole different types of dishes mm-hmm. with different types of like people situations. That's where you put that because you could do like, again, describing people's situation through their dishes. There may be middle class family that just uses paper plates because mama doesn't feel like mama has to get up to work and that sort of thing. Or you could do like the soup kitchen where just all styrofoam, easy throw away stuff. You could do the fancy mansion family that has just fine china. Mm-hmm. Like you could do that and tell the stories of those people through different little vignettes. And honestly, if you do that sort of thing, you don't even need like a structured chorus.
Yeah.
You just kind of do one of them verse B section verse formats.
Yeah. Or everybody's got their dirty dishes. Mm. Whatever kind of, whatever they're eating off of. Or even, I was thinking too, like, and all that stuff's great, but thinking about comparing ourselves to whatever dishes, kind of like, yeah, some are filled with caviar and some have Fruit Loops in it and some have whatever that is, fancy to not fancy. But at the end of the day, it's all just dirty dishes. And I don't know what that is there, but at the end of the day,
there you go. You describe the dirt that's on the dishes. You describe the leftover food. Mm-hmm. After the meal's been eaten, this one's got leftover caviar. This one's got leftover steak. This one has leftover spam.
Yeah, exactly.
This one's just a paper plate that's got nothing on
it. One has leftover liver because Brent loves liver.
I'll eat some liver in Denmark. I've not had any since I got back. Yeah.
I did not need to know that.
Hey,
you didn't hear the liver rant in Denmark?
In Denmark.
No, I missed
it. Every single morning he had liver on his plate.
I will do that.
At the hotel. We're like, dude, what the heck? I didn't know you like cat food.
Oh, that freaking pate stuff at the hotel?
Yeah.
Oh, God, so disgusting.
Sorry for anyone who likes liver on this podcast, but I'm sorry, man. If you want a cat food, we have a cat. We have some extra.
Yeah, you and my mom, you love liver pate.
Only time I ever bought liver was to fish with it, because catfish love liver, so only time. Only time in my life I ever bought liver was to use this catfish bait.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
So, yes, when I'm in Denmark, so next September, get used to it. If you sit across from me at breakfast, you bring one of those little stroop waffle things and I'll put it on my coffee and I might hold off on the liver for one of those stroop waffles.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Gosh, stroop waffles are the bomb though.
That was
so good.
Liver. So.
Yeah.
So dirty dishes again and the food that's on the dishes. Okay, hold on. What if it's like a kumbaya, we're all people, we're all human, and you have all these, like, these dirty dishes have this on it, and these from Africa, and these dirty dishes from Europe have this on it, these dirty dishes from America have this, and these dirty dishes from Mexico have this, and it's like all that kind of a thing, but they're all just dirty dishes.
Yeah, there's something very universal about it, because whether your dish is big plant leaf or whatever, or fine china, like, we all gotta eat. Right. Basically, it's like we all have these very basic.
And when it's all said and done, they're just dirty dishes.
No matter what, where you are, there's dirty dishes kind of thing. If you're fortunate. Right. I mean, hey, maybe you're blessed to have dirty dishes.
Yeah.
Because there are people that they don't eat.
Oh, okay. Oh, how about this? Check
blessings
me out.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So on the count your blessings kind of thing, like how many times before something amazing happened in somebody's life or before something tragic happened in somebody's life, one of the last things they did right before that event happened was clean and dirty dishes because every day we got to do the dishes because it's just one of those things that you do all the time, so you like you never know like when your life's going to change, but it's probably going to change after you clean some dirty dishes, something like that, where it's just like where's that thing like focus on what you have now, focus on good stuff because maybe we don't want to do the dishes.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. It's this, it's that. But you know what? Enjoy it because you could walk out tomorrow and get hit by a bus. Yeah. You could walk out tomorrow and fall in love. Like, you don't know.
Yeah. What if it's like this, the empty nester, like the mom that was worn out by all the dirty laundry and dirty dishes, right? I mean, my wife is in the thick of it. Now we have Ren. He does dish duty. She has help, but there's just always dirty dishes, dirty laundry, all this stuff. But then I think of my parents, like the dishes don't take any time at all, unless they cook a lot, but it's just like, ooh, one plate. Done. Man.
The lack of dirty dishes. Like,
Okay. Can I make it sad?
Yes, of course.
Can I make this just sad? Okay. So go back through the sort of growing up story. Mm-hmm. You could absolutely do it as like a caretaker of a mom where she taught you how to clean the dishes, how to do everything right. And I am probably ripping off Bobby here.
Shade,
sorry, Bobby, sue me. But you could absolutely do like cleaning dishes. Like they taught you how to clean dishes. Then they get a little older. You clean the dishes for them. And then now it's just you.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, there's only one dirty dish left. Mm-hmm. Sort of thing. Like I don't, and make it just super sad. Yeah, just, and do like, there's only one dirty plate that needs to be cleaned, one wine glass by the counter. There's only one mug in the morning. There's because you're gone.
Yeah. And I think the thing too, of like, you resent the dirty dishes, right? So much time. And then at the end, like I'd give anything to have a sink full of dirty dishes, but now there's just a plate and a cup sitting there. That's it. And I want whether it's an empty nester, a widow, whatever that is, or somebody that was married and divorced, that could be a thing.
Yeah.
Since we're going super sad, what if guy is supposed to clean the dishes, has a fight with his wife because he didn't clean the dishes the night before? She's all pissed off and he's like, F the dishes, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what she's up to. He goes off to work. Wife takes kids to school, gets hit by a bus, whole family's gone. He comes back, stinks, still full of dirty dishes.
Yeah.
And he's just thinking like, God.
Yeah.
That's the last conversation I had with her was dirty dishes.
Yeah. You can make it.
Don't the small stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could even make that, like, I guess for lack of better words, not as happenstancey. Mm-hmm. Cause like that's kind of a rare situation. Like,
super random. It's,
it happens. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to make it a little bit more like, I guess you don't have to say how they died because it could be like one of them more general concepts. Mm-hmm. You could do, and there's still dirty dishes in the sink, and be like, you just haven't kept up with anything because you've lost this person. Yeah. Like there's dust on the counters, there's food spoiled in the fridge, there's all this stuff. And I just don't feel like doing anything because you're gone. And this is what I used to do with you. Mm-hmm. It can even be like a newlywed sort of situation where you move into a house, it's this new fixer upper and you're building a life together. Something happens. You don't necessarily have to say what happened. And it's just like, man, there's dust on the TV, stuff piled up in the sink, and like there's spoiled food in the fridge, and I haven't slept a wink. Like all these things, and there's still dirty dishes in the sink because, I mean, like,
yeah, we had some people that we know from church that the father died from COVID. So my wife and another friend went over because they know the mom. The kid was one of our Awana group kids, so went over just to help clean up because we were just overwhelmed. And so they just went over and did dishes and put up some laundry and just loved on her that way.
Yeah, that was a big thing when I was going through my cancer treatments was my parents were both at the hospital with me and my brother was at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would come and visit like at least 3-4 times a week, but he still had school and stuff, which was kind of hard for him. And it was his junior year. So it was, luckily it wasn't his senior year when it, like we were going through the thick of it. But luckily we had an awesome like church group and neighbors would come over and they would just kind of cook for him and then clean up. And that was a huge help. And so you can kind of, if you wanted to do kind of that
weighted dirty dishes and what you can do.
Yeah. That sort of kumbaya route, which you're talking about, Johnny, not necessarily the world, but just a community of helping somebody.
More relatable.
Yeah.
It's like when you don't know what to do, do the dishes.
Yeah.
Like if you're not sure what to do.
If you don't know what to do, clean the dirty dishes.
Yeah. I'm going to say just do the dishes, but because that's more what you'd say. But that kind of thought of just like a practical help for someone who's just going through hell and just you don't know what to do. Do the dishes.
Because we all got dirty dishes,
right? Like take out the trash. Like come over and just try to be some practical help. You don't have to fix them, fix the situation. Just clean some dirty dishes.
Yep.
So I think that would be pretty cool.
Or make some dishes dirty. My mom would always
dirty
cook
some
food.
Dishes.
And over lasagna.
Yeah. Yeah. Since we're getting in the churchy route, I wonder, this is totally a stretch and a reach. So I'm going to look so stupid
Jesus
saying this, but
dishes.
Here we are anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you think of the Last Supper.
That
was the last thing that Jesus did before he died. Yeah. So like, how did the hostess of that house feel doing those dishes and knowing that was the last, thing that Jesus ate before he died? That'd be like one of them Christian or like Southern gospel type songs.
And what you do with that cup? Cause that Holy Grail, there's a whole Indiana Jones movie about what she did.
Yeah, but
and a Dan Brown book where it wasn't the cup.
Yeah.
But like, what would she think knowing that that's the last thing that Jesus touched before he went to his death, like, and died for the sins? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's really
maybe something there if you think more on that.
Those are some very special dirty dishes, right?
Yeah,
there,
they are.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that is.
Dang right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and also,
I'm just throwing out Judas's, whatever he ate off, I'm just chucking it.
Whatever we touched on today could be applied to that too.
Oh, yeah.
Like if those dishes could talk, like what did Judas say? What did, like, what was going on? Like that's, ooh, that's fast. There's a lot that you could go there. That's really good. Guys, we got like 26 angles on this.
Easiest Southern gospel quartet thing about Jesus does the dishes. It doesn't matter what kind of sin is baked on, like egg yolk that's sticky on there and like concrete now. Jesus does the dishes. He'll get you clean.
Oh my God, that'd be perfect.
Bring Jesus your dirty dishes.
That's where it goes into cheesy gospel.
No. But I write Southern gospel stuff. I got my first 3 Southern gospel cuts this year.
Nice.
It's super fun. Like, it's great. An awesome quartet called Master's Voice.
Oh, I know those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, they cut 3 of my songs this year, and they're fantastic. But what if I said that? That would be so funny.
I know. I have some titles. I'll bring up.
It works, though, is the thing. It works.
It works. It's like, he'll cut the grease with his grace.
It's just, and you know I mean it lovingly when I say that, it's just stupid enough to work.
Yeah.
Like, it's just there. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Get a big old cut. Well, thank you, Ava Page. Right. That's awesome. Yo, we got some great looks at that. Amazing. Climbers, send in your title. Send as many as you want to info@daredevilproduction.com. Put STC or Song Title Challenge in the subject line, and maybe you're just going to get a creative and musical genius like Miss Ava Page to help yours truly and your favorite co-host, Mr. Brent Baxter, flesh out this idea and give you some good direction.
By the way, if anyone needs references for like really those twist song hook title things, one of the songs I recommend to everybody go check out, it's one of the best written songs I've ever heard in my life, and it has a twist title. It's called Bible Verses by Blake Shelton.
Brett Shirokey, and he's been on the show.
Yes, it's Brett Shirokey and Joe Fox, and both of them, and one other gentleman, I cannot not remember his name for the life of me, but oh my God, y'all.
It's so good.
It is one of the best songs I've ever heard in my life. The hook is...
I kind of don't want to give it away.
I won't give it away.
But they can find it because Blake Shelton
cut it. Just go listen to the song. Yeah, Blake Shelton, Bible Verses. It was just an album cut, never went singled, but it is one of the best written songs I have heard in a very, very long time. So go check it out. But it has one of them twist titles, and that's like a blueprint map of what to do.
Yeah. How to do it right. Ava, thank you for saying yes.
Thank you.
Oh, of course. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun.
We have to come back and do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Heck yeah.
We gotta start going round twos, Brent. We gotta start going round twos, I think. This is too good. All right, guys, this podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.